This production is affiliated with SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Catholic vitamins. Vitamin A, awaken.
Vitamin A, that means that we're starting all over again.
Yes. You didn't know that?
Well, I know, but this is the seventh time.
Really?
Hey, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's so very nice of you. The seventh time around. Yes. All right, that's enough. That's enough. Thank you. Thank
you. All right, well, to kick off this seventh round
of the alphabet,
our vitamin A guest is Steve Dawson with St. Paul Street Evangelization, episode 171.
And you did say what the vitamin was. The
vitamin
Catholic.
Vitamin A, yes.
What's the word?
Awaken. Oh. I said that.
Oh, I didn't get that. I would guess I was listening to all the applause. All right, let's start the show.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Well, hello.
Well, hello once again. In case you don't know, because you're not looking carefully at your iPod screen, you're listening to Dee.
That's me.
And Deacon Tom. We're the Catholic Vitamins dynamic duo, vitamin D2. Oh, that's not
King,
this.
King and Queen of Prattle.
Glad to have you with us once again. We're in a really good mood for several reasons.
We're in a good mood and we're in a sad mood.
Well, that's right. Exactly. Yes. We have had a guest for several days, on and off. Channing Dale has been with us. And what I thought we might do, Dee, is do a brief mini interview with Channing, and then we'll tell you, our listeners, a little more about her visit, okay?
Okay.
We're sitting in our own podcast palace with Channing Dale. You may know Channing from her podcast. She's on This Catholic Life. You'll find her on YouTube and other places. Channing, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Deacon.
Well, Channing has been here for a visit in Arizona. Before we talk about Arizona, just say a word or two about This Catholic Life.
My podcast is called This Catholic Life, and you can find it at thiscatholiclife.org. I also have a blog, which I post to a couple times a month when I can. So I talk about devotions and saints and books and various things throughout the Catholic Church.
Wonderful. Well, Channing has been a guest here in our house for several days, and she's done some other visiting in Arizona. Tell us about your visit to Arizona.
Oh, it's been wonderful. I got here late Wednesday night, and I'm heading back Monday, which, is almost not enough time for how much fun I had being with Deacon Tom and Dee. And I went to visit the Grand Canyon. I have some fellow podcasters in Phoenix, Arizona, who do a show called the Creaky Pew Podcast. So I went down and visited with them and was a guest on their show. And so they showed me around town and did different things like that. And I went and the Grand Canyon itself, go back to the Grand Canyon, was absolutely incredible. And I still wish I had more time to spend here, but the trip is something that I definitely won't forget.
Amen. Amen. Nor us. And speaking of unforgettable, Channing, one of the things we sort of pulled on you last night was, would you please speak to some of the youth of our parish about the journey that you've been on, and this quickly, we were only able to get three families to come over, but you just held everybody spellbound. We're so appreciative. Tell us a little bit about what you did in that talk.
Well, like Deacon said, there were a couple of families who came from their parish to the house, And I talked about discernment, and I talked about the journey that I have been taking the past 3 years in trying to decide whether or not I want to enter religious life. And currently, I have been accepted to a Discalced Carmelite community and will be entering in July of this year. And I just wanted to share with the teens and with their parents how important it is just to do discernment and how important it is to discern every day. Not necessarily just discernment of a vocation, but discerning God's will every day. So I told them about my vocation story starting in high school a little bit and going mostly through college. Most of the things I talked about occurred in college. And then talked about the community that I'm entering, if you're interested in hearing the story, friend listeners of Catholic Vitamins, the last four episodes that I did on my show, 24, 25, 26, and 27, I discuss my vocation story in parts. And so, if you would have any interest in hearing what I told these families. You can find it on my show.
Great. Now, we have extracted a promise that you will come on as a guest. And I think what I'd like to do is offer vitamin D2 for discernment, our second show on discernment. And maybe we can concentrate on the discernment aspect of your journey, because it's pretty powerful and it speaks to people, whether they're married or wondering whether they should get married, or the religious life, or even to be single. So will you promise that you'll come back?
Yes, I'll do that for vitamin D, too.
All right, great. Well, we've been talking with Channing Dale from her podcast and blog. The podcast is This Catholic Life, and you can hear the whole story by visiting the show numbers that she mentioned, and Channing, in our heart. We have great spiritual love for you, and we will definitely keep you in prayer. Please do the same for us.
Yes, I'll do that. Thank you so much.
Well, that was a mini interview with Channing Dale. And
We virtually got her to do that right before she walked out the door,
I
right?
She really had a commitment to leave us and to be somewhere down in the valley. Probably with people younger than us.
That's why I said she was going down to join those creaky pew friends.
Yeah, but
for Super Bowl afternoon and evening, and then spend the night with one of them down there. So she, because her flight leaves so early in the morning.
Couple things about Channing. She is a dear, dear soul. You can feel holiness radiating from her persona when she is at Mass. She has a mantilla, a scarf, a beautiful scarf.
Veil. I guess they call it a scarf. They don't call it a veil, not a scarf. Don't you think?
Whatever. So she wears that and is notable for that. She also is very reverent in church. And so she was so good to be with. And we were able to do faith sharing, talking with her when we were alone with Channing. And she did evening prayer with us and morning prayer with us. Gosh, she was just a great guest.
And I have to say that I mentioned this to somebody else. I said, when she's talking to us about her vocation,
mm-hmm.
she just lights up. She's just beaming when she's talking about it.
Well, may it please Almighty God that that is the vocation for her and that it really lasts. And I missed the first day of her visit because I was in Moreno Valley.
She got here Wednesday evening, and you left Wednesday morning to drive over to California.
I did a faith and evangelization or new evangelization talk for the people in the parish. This is part of a week of adult faith formation that they're doing at St. Christopher's Parish in Moreno Valley. And everything worked out just absolutely wonderfully. I mean, I don't mean to talk that way about my presentation, but I was worried about the projector. It was a borrowed projector that I was using, and just the mechanics of making everything work. But it just seemed like there was a good-sized crowd, good participation, and I think they heard a lot of new things that they might not have gotten from their own parish, just because it was some of the things we're doing here. Now, I was greeted in the parking lot as I arrived by a fellow deacon, I saw this man looking at me, and I was trying to smile and say hi, and I kept looking, and I noticed that he had a dark mustache, and then it clicked. He's the one I've seen on Facebook. He's Joe Marino, Deacon Joe Marino, and he was there to help me unload and to begin to share fellowship deacon to deacon. And he sat through the whole presentation. I didn't see him sleep once, so he was really wonderful. He actually shared it at one part during the presentation. And after the talk and slides and everything was over and all of the people had left, he helped me load up the car, and then we went and did some more deacon brotherhood sharing, and we went and had some soup and bread, and it was just so great to be with him. I got a message that
you... I found it on Facebook.
Yeah, you found it on Facebook. This is from Deacon Joe Marino. Sometimes God gives us a glimpse of heaven. I think that's what I said independently of this when I was talking about chanting, you know, looking at a person's soul. Deacon Joe says, I had the opportunity to meet Deacon Tom Fox of the Catholic Vitamins podcast at St. Christopher Parish Wednesday evening. I had been following his podcast for 3 years, and it was such a joy to my heart, in my heart, to meet him in person and fellowship for a bit. I think it is like the communion of saints. When we get to heaven, we will meet those we have prayed for but never met, and those who have prayed for us. I believe it will be one of the great joys of heaven. What a beautiful thing to say, and absolutely correct. Thank you, Deacon Joe. It was so good to be with you, and we're looking forward to your visit in Arizona.
This has been a blessing for us. This is one of the blessings of getting to know people through the internet over a long period of time. In 5 days, we've gotten to meet two people we had never met before in person, but who have, we feel like we knew them.
Absolutely. And Channing was, she was sharing the story of how she got started first with Deacon Tom and then with Dee on the internet. And it has been every bit of what we had hoped for in terms of relationship. The only sadness is that we will have to sort of leave physical contact with her. We'll certainly be in the Communion of Saints in prayer for her when she goes into the monastery in July, isn't it, Dee?
Mm-hmm. In Elysburg, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. What else do we have? Anything else that we need to do?
Oh, we can save some of the other stuff till later on in the show.
All right. Well, you know, Fergal O'Neill is one of our heavy hitters. He's from Ireland, and he announced that he got slammed. I'll just use one of the words from retail. He got slammed, and he's not going to be with us.
He said somebody robbed the time from him.
Yeah.
He doesn't know where this time went, but somebody's robbed some from him.
So, someone else who does yeoman work at helping us to understand the idea of the vitamin of the week is dear Mariana Bartholomew, an award-winning, seven-time award-winning journalist, and she has a Catholic Vitamin A participation for Awaken.
This is Catholic journalist Mariana Bartholomew with a missionary moment. As we leap into 2013, let's make a new resolution to pray the news. For some, checking daily news is as natural as morning coffee, but many become distracted by family needs and life's busyness and lag in keeping up with local, national, and international events. To impact our world in profound and practical ways, we must reach beyond the borders of our homes and communities. Blessed Teresa of Calcutta invited people to start within their own circles in serving the lonely and vulnerable. Sometimes we miss poverty right within our families because it comes in such everyday guise. Offering a healing touch and attentiveness to that teen in our life who is shut behind a closed bedroom door can free them to sanely ponder life's big questions. Honoring our mother and father, especially as they advance in age and frailty, deepens us. Welcoming each little one into our midst with patience stretches us to the point of heroism. Each daily practical act to make someone feel loved and cared for answers Mother Teresa's call to serve the mission field right in front of our noses. But in the course of our day, we should expand our reach, exploring regional and international news. We need this context to live informed lives. Praying the news can happen in one session as we read it, or throughout the day as we go about our tasks. We can pray for those suffering intolerance in some distant land, and pray for areas racked by disaster, war, famine, or unrest. We can target specific nations, towns, and individuals by name, and pray for world leaders, asking that they be guided by God's wisdom. Perhaps if we get so specific, if we yearn for peace in foreign lands, it will help feed our desire for peace within our own homes and neighborhoods. And of course, as we feel peace in our homes, that spirit will permeate our neighborhoods and the world. In 2013, let's become active, prayerful agents of peace. Through the years, I've prayed and sent funds for tsunami, earthquake, or war victims, and the sense of connection with others in distant areas has been strong. I pray for a time, and then the need slips into obscurity as news coverage fades. But it's different this year. A missionary priest from India befriended me about 4 months ago, and now that whole nation has come alive for me. As I daily pray for my new friend's needs as he serves 5 rural outposts around Andhra Pradesh, I've become more sensitive to the needs of India as a whole. I keep a binder of photos that my new friend, Father Varghese, emails me, and bought a map of India to study. I dip into the Times of India, the BBC Online, and other websites for news. So when my friend mentioned flooding in his area, I turned to the internet to see pictures of the worst flooding to hit Andhra Pradesh in 20 years. Just weeks after floodwaters dried, another event rocked that nation and sparked debates about the treatment of women in the second most populated nation in the world. Protests erupted across India after a 23-year-old paramedical student was brutally gang-raped, then thrown off a bus in Delhi. The young woman struggled for her life for nearly 2 weeks before suffering massive organ shutdown and succumbing to infection from her injuries. Now, don't we have enough problems without joining in so actively in the pain of a distant land? No, we should stay concerned. Our destinies in this age of mobility and connectivity are entwined. Articles ran in the New York Times, the Times of India, and other news outlets about a sickening hate crime committed when a 31-year-old woman in Queens, New York, pushed a 46-year-old Hindu from India to his death under a subway train. Arrested on second-degree murder charges, she admitted to beating on Muslims and Hindus ever since the September 11th attacks on the Twin Towers. We can't ignore such simmering bigotry in our midst. Will we too join the ranks of haters, or work toward the eradication of terrorism in all its forms, even the impulse toward racism and violence that lurks within our own breast? Staying informed about global issues can help us relate to that coworker or neighbor from another nation. Keeping our eyes open and our minds active in pondering solutions to problems, both local and global, puts us in a state of being informed and perhaps able to make a difference. Sometimes violent plots are foiled by people having their eyes and ears open. Other times, real, substantive help occurs after certain connections are made. We hear about a specific need overseas. We happen to know someone who is an expert in that field and give them an alert. Next thing we know, certain solutions are being offered. Such global concern has led to wells being dug for needy communities, war orphans being adopted, and medical professionals forming teams to offer services to remote villages. So in 2013, let's take good care of our own. Let's serve well those suffering within our reach and in our own families, neighborhoods, and nation. But then let's expand our horizons, open our minds, and ponder and pray over needs beyond our borders. Who knows? Our one small voice united to another's could spark a trend. Let's make 2013 notable for how well we respond to God's call to be peacemakers. Let's not limit ourselves to what our puny imaginations can comprehend, but let God call us forth into His vision of peace for humanity.
I particularly love that missionary moment by Mariana. Certainly an example of ways that we can think about awakening our minds to new potential. It reminds me of the spiritual director that I had for the first 2 years that I was in deacon formation. He was a wonderful African priest named Father Marcel. Marcel was his first name. And he was a joyous, happy priest. What was interesting about Father Marcel was that he had been living a pretty dissolute life and not practicing the Catholic faith. He happened to be, as I remember the story, he happened to be in France when it was World Youth Day, and he got close to John Paul II, and something happened inside Father, at that time, just Marcel Z, and he began to be awakened to a new life potential. He started practicing the Catholic faith. He had found a desire in him to become a priest, And while he was in Africa, they assigned him to come to the United States to get a doctorate in civil engineering so he could go back and help to build a seminary and also water purification projects for his people in Africa. We could certainly find ways to awaken our faith and to be more active, particularly in this year of faith, if we allow God to come in and work in our minds and hearts. I think our guest will be a great example of that. So after a brief musical interlude, let's bring in our guest. Here's one of my favorite songs. This is Gretchen Harris and her rendition of Child of God from her album, Hope for Tomorrow. Gretchen Harris, a previous guest on Catholic Vitamins. Next up on Catholic Vitamins, we are on the phone with Steve Dawson. Our faith vitamin for this week is vitamin A for awaken, as in awakening the faith that is inside of you, the truth that is inside of you, searching to come out. And we have a great story to get into today. Steve, welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Hi, Deacon. How are you doing?
Great, great. Well, we got a lot of ground to cover, and I said I wouldn't hold you too long, so let's get started. Who was Steve Dawson as a young boy? Where were you born, and what was your early childhood like?
Yeah, well, I was born in Detroit, Michigan, in Metro Detroit, and I was baptized a Catholic. But during those early years, my mother did not practice the faith. My dad was not a Christian. And so growing up, I did not have a strong relationship with God or a knowledge that God even existed. I don't remember talking about God at the dinner table or with my friends or anything like that. We did go to church once in a while, but I would have to say that God was not a thought in my daily life. And so by the time I was 12 or 13 years old, I was...
Go ahead.
By the time I was 12 or 13 years old, I was, I'd say, lost. And the things that mattered to me in life were having fun and excitement. And so my mom had a conversion, a reversion to the faith when I was about 13 years old, I'd say, but I did not want any part of it. She wanted to teach me about the faith, and by this time I was not, I would say I wasn't, I didn't want to have anything to do with it, basically. I thought church was boring, and I didn't think it was relevant for my life. So at these early years, I started getting into trouble. And I remember when I was 13 years old, I got in trouble with the law for the first time. I snuck my dad's car out in the middle of the night, and a police officer saw me, and he tried to pull me over. I was just a kid, you know. And instead of stopping, I ran. I got into a massive car accident. And I must have been in shock because he came up to the car with his flashlight. He thought I was dead. And the electricity in the car still worked, and I rolled down the window, and I just looked at him. I said, "What seems to be the problem, officer?"
Oh, my.
Yeah, and he was not amused. I got arrested. I spent the night in juvenile. And it just got worse for me from there. So in my high school years and throughout my teen years, I got involved with drugs and alcohol. And my life turned into a mess. So those were the early years where I was just going crazy. You know, I didn't care about anything, and I just wanted to have fun and seek the pleasures of life.
Okay. Well, there must have come a turning point in your life, because we know, you and I know, where part of your story is going to go. How did your life take a turn, Steve?
Well, basically, I was lost, and I had no sense of purpose in life, and I was really miserable. And I really didn't want to live anymore. And my mom kept telling me, she said, "Look, you're not going to be happy in life. You're not going to be fulfilled unless you turn to God." And at this point, I didn't even know if God existed or not. I would say I wasn't a full-fledged atheist, but I was definitely an agnostic. And I really did not want to have any part of God, but I was so miserable. One night I turned to him in prayer and I said, "Okay, God, if you really exist, you're going to have to show me, because I just don't know if I could do this anymore. I don't want to live. And you're going to have to make it real clear to me that you're real, or else I'm going to have to end this thing." And so I did. I turned to that prayer, and he showed me. And I would say a miraculous way by giving me an incredible amount of grace and a desire to search him out. I spent a lot of time in research and in study. And, you know, at this point, I didn't immediately become Catholic. I studied the proofs of the existence of God. And so I came to a belief that there was a God and it was one God. But at this point, I was not Christian. I was not Catholic. I mean, I was baptized Catholic, so I was Catholic. But I didn't make it my own at this point. So I would study all the different monotheistic religions, and I even looked at some polytheistic religions like Hinduism. But at the end of the day, I came back to Christianity. I thought that this needed to be researched, because this man, Jesus Christ, made a claim that no other man had ever made, that he was God. So after really giving that, I'd say quite a bit of research and study, I came to believe that Jesus was God. But I ran into the problem, well, okay, Jesus is God, so I need to be a Christian, but what kind of Christian should I be? And so, I mean, there's 30,000 different denominations of Christianity, and each one of those different denominations is teaching something a little bit different, you know, on important issues like how am I saved? You know, how do you get to heaven? So it was, I have to say, it was pretty confusing, but at some point I just said, okay, well, let's go back in time. What did the apostles teach their disciples? You know, and when I started looking at the early church, at the earliest Christians, what were they writing? Like Ignatius of Antioch. I mean, these guys were Catholic. It was very clear once I started looking at the historical documents that if Christianity was true, Catholicism had to be true. And I really believe that. So once I figured that out, I embraced Catholicism with the help of God's grace. And the story goes from there.
All right. Now, during the period of your study and your discernment about the various religions and then about Christianity, and Catholicism, were you at home, living at home? Were you living a decent life, or were you still sort of a foot in two different yards?
Yeah. At this time, I was I'd say in my early 30s, and my life was such a mess that I had to move back in with my parents. And they graciously accepted me back, but I did my study at my parents' house, and I would be there too while I discerned what God was calling me to do in my life.
And I think I know that you had a possible consideration of a religious life. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. After my conversion, or more technically reversion, I was trying to discern what God was calling me to do. And at first, I got very active in the pro-life movement. I helped lead several 40 Days for Life campaigns in the state that I lived in Southfield, Michigan. And I would get involved in sidewalk counseling and other pro-life activities. Now, on top of this, I was doing Bible studies and getting spiritual direction and going on retreats. And I really felt called that God may be calling me to the priesthood, and specifically the religious life. So I started researching different religious institutes, and I landed on a great one, the Franciscan Friars of the Immaculate. I went and visited them a few times, and I decided that I needed to try it out. So I entered, and I spent 14 months with them, and discerned through the help of my spiritual director and my superior that God was not calling me to the religious life. And so I left the Franciscans of the Immaculate with a deepened spirituality, and I had a lot of spiritual growth during that time, but I wasn't exactly sure when I left what God was calling me to do. I knew He was calling me to do something for His church, but I wasn't quite sure what it was. And at this point, you know, I was getting back involved in the pro-life movement, but at this time in my life, I really had come to believe through growth in the spiritual life and prayer, I really felt called to do something more. I recognized that that abortion really is a symptom to the contraceptive mentality, which is a symptom of a de-Christianized culture. And I've recognized that we weren't going to put an end to abortion or the homosexual marriage issues or any of the other grave moral evils in this age that we're dealing with in our culture until we converted it. And so this is really what Pope John Paul II and even Pope Paul VI before him calls us to, the new evangelization, the re-evangelization of a de-Christianized culture using new means and methods. And so I really felt strongly, yes, we need to stop abortion and we need to fight it head on. We need to do sidewalk counseling and work with crisis pregnancy centers and the women. But we also need to convert the culture. If we don't do that, we're just going to keep marching, sometimes more quickly and sometimes more slowly, in the same direction that we're moving. So I felt called that by God to do something to convert the culture. And in my daily life, I would evangelize people by giving out miraculous medals. And it had been very effective in starting conversations. And so, just one example, I was at a restaurant with some friends and I gave a waitress a miraculous medal. This started a conversation about Catholicism, which then led to a conversation about abortion. We had a great talk, and with the waitress, we had never met her before, Well, we went back to that restaurant about 6 months later, and she ran up to me. She remembered me, and she said, "I have something to tell you. I had just found out I was pregnant when I was talking to you that day, and I was going to have an abortion. Mm-hmm. But I knew that God sent you to speak with me." And she opened up her jacket, and she was visibly pregnant. And that baby is alive now. Mm. And so how did I respond? I said, "We're going to get that baby baptized, right?" So I knew from my own personal experience, and I've had other experiences like it, that just talking to somebody can open them up. But I would also ask my friends, when was the last time you were out somewhere and you saw Catholics evangelizing? And over and over and over again, it was always never. Or I think I saw some Catholics evangelizing once. Or I think I heard of some Catholics evangelizing, but I've never actually seen it. So that was the case for me. I'd never seen Catholics out evangelizing. And I said, "Well, we need to change that." And basically what I did is I just called up some friends and I said, "Come on over. I got an idea." And so they came over, my friend Nick and Caitlin, and we just sat down and I said, "Look, we need to go out and evangelize the world, but we need to do so in a non-confrontational way. So what do you guys think about setting up a sign somewhere and just handing out rosaries, praying, letting people come to us? We're not going to read out of the Bible at no one in particular or hold up confrontational signs saying you're going to go to hell if you don't convert. But we'll just have conversations." And at the end of that conversation, we had a plan. And the next stage was just to implement it. So that's kind of the way that the whole St. Paul Street evangelization idea got started, developed in my mind. And we can go from there.
Okay, so now you have opened the door to let our listeners know. We're talking with Steve Dawson. He's the co-founder and national director for the St. Paul Street Evangelization effort. I have looked at some of their videos online. My heart is touched because in our own way, Catholic Vitamins is our effort at evangelization, and we're really on fire for the faith, and we have some correspondents that are likewise that work with us. We have Justin Stroh, who is a 20-year evangelist musician. He used to be with the group Radix, that went around doing music and evangelization for young people, and he does a segment each week with us. And we have two others, Mariana Bartholomew, who's a writer from the mission fields and used to be out doing mission work in the poorest areas. And we have a deacon candidate from Ireland who's going to be on fire when he's ordained at Pentecost. So now, Steve, you know about Catholic Vitamins a bit, and we're really on fire for what you're doing. So now tell us about the beginnings of the St. Paul Street Evangelization, and tell us what's been happening.
Sure, absolutely. It's very exciting what we're involved with here. Basically, what we did is we got everything prepared, and we just went out, and we set up somewhere. We made sure what the local laws were, so as long as we weren't selling anything and accepting donations, we could go out with the sign and hand out rosaries and talk to people. So we did, and we set up, and we had pamphlets and literature and rosaries, and we would just sit out there and pray the rosary. And if somebody walked by us and looked, we'd offer them a free rosary. And from this, from the very first time we went out, we started to have amazing conversations. You know, when I started this, I was, you know, I love apologetics, and I really thought that we were going to have these, like, intense apologetic debates with Protestants about the church or about misconceptions that they have about the church. But what I found which was really very nice, actually, is that 99% of the conversations we have are not that type of conversation. They're just about meeting the person where they're at, you know, finding out where they're at in their walk with God, or if they don't have one, talking to them about that. And we had immediate, I wouldn't say success, because I don't think that's the proper word, but we could see the fruit of our conversations almost immediately. When we went out there originally, we didn't think we'd see any fruit at all. We thought we'd just be planting seeds and that God would take care of them later. But we were wrong. God was showing us the fruit of us being out there. And what we did is from a very early point, I thought that this was something that needed to spread throughout the country. So we started taking pictures, not pictures of the faces of the people we were talking to. So we'd get a picture from behind, and we would post them on Facebook and use social media to kind of show other Catholics what we were doing. And with those pictures, we would post stories. Very quickly, it began spreading across the nation, the idea of Catholics being out evangelizing. We started getting people contacting us from all over the country saying, how can I bring this to my hometown? So we needed to lay a foundation to be able to provide the tools and the resources and the inspiration for other Catholics to bring this apostolate to their hometowns. And that's what we've been doing. So we go out here where I am locally to evangelize every weekend, but at the same time, we're really building a foundation upon which we can grow. And we've grown from one location in Portland, Oregon in May of 2012, so less than a year ago, to 27 locations in 16 different states in the United States. And we have teams from the Philippines and the United Kingdom and Africa and all over the world contacting us, trying to find out how they can bring this apostolate to their hometowns. So that's what we're doing. We have a bunch of projects going on that we can talk about if you want to, but we're growing like wildfire. We're exploding, basically. So,
how awesome. How absolutely awesome. Just as a sidebar, I was born in Detroit. I was going to jump on that a while ago, but I was so interested in your share, I didn't want to interrupt. then we lived in Colorado for a while, and I remember, I think it was a group of Franciscans that rented space in a shopping center in Colorado Springs, and they had a little meditation room they set up and an area for confessions. And so people going to the mall were invited by just signage to come in and meet with a Franciscan and to pray if they wanted to pray, to have somebody to talk to if they wanted to talk, or to go to confession. And I was so taken by that idea, but I'm absolutely on fire to support St. Paul's street evangelization. I'm amazed at the growth. I have a couple questions. One, what do you do about the literature? Are you having a standard set of literature or things that you hand out?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. When we first started, we got our literature from various publishers. And what we found, first of all, the literature is not the most important thing that we have out there. It's just our presence. It's our actual conversation. So for us, the literature was there to give somebody something to walk away with that they could look at later. Also, what we found was that the literature, most Catholic literature out there, is specifically tailored to sit in the back of Catholic churches. It's not specifically tailored towards street evangelization. So, and third, it's very expensive. So it ranges from $14 plus shipping for 50 pamphlets to some are a little bit less and some are a little bit more, but that's the average range. So a group to get started could spend several hundred dollars on literature, easy. What we've done is I put together a team of about 15 apologists and theologians, and we're writing our own pamphlets. Mm-hmm. We have a Catholic author who's working with us as our editor. His name is Dave Armstrong from Detroit. He's written all the Catholic books. And so right now we're in the middle of that project. It's set to go, we're set to release our pamphlets in early February. And what we're going to do is we're going to make them available by PDF for our teams to have them printed however they want. So it's going to reduce costs, and it's also going to be literature that's specifically tailored for street evangelization. So we have about 15 written so far. We have about 5 to go. We're going to start with 20 pamphlets, and those can actually be looked at, the text, at our website under resources, under tracks. So as they come out, we're putting them up there. So the people who are following us on Facebook and all the other places can see what we're doing in that area. So we're really excited about that.
Sure, sure. Well, listen, I watched a video, one of the YouTube videos of a young woman. I think if I remember correctly, she was a high school senior, and she was not a polished speaker. And I don't mean that in a demeaning way. She was just a real person. And it made me wonder, who are the volunteers that are getting into this around the country? Is it mostly young people, or is there a mix?
Yeah, I would have to say it's a mix. It's the people who are getting involved are the On Fire Catholics. I mean, I think the On Fire Catholics have this deep sense that we need to convert the culture. We need to be God's feet on the ground to work for the conversion of the culture, or else it's doomed. It's heading, it's marching and towards its own destruction. And so what I'm finding is, yeah, a lot of young people want to get involved, but also there's older people. And I think it's like the pro-life movement. If you've never gone out in front of an abortion clinic to pray, you should do it. What I find, and what I found personally, and what I found in the teams that I were leading of people who were going out there, was that the people going out and doing the praying have this sense of spiritual growth, spiritual fulfillment. And we're finding that the people who come out to evangelize get the same spiritual benefit. They're growing in their personal faith. They're just getting all this grace, and it's really amazing to watch.
Okay, gosh, there's just so many things we could cover, and we're just about at the end of our time together. Most Catholics are reluctant to try to do evangelization because they don't understand a lot of aspects of the faith. They don't understand about annulments and what it really means. They don't know what happens if a woman has abortion, what that woman has to do if she wants to reconcile, etc. Should lack of knowledge or worry about lack of knowledge stop somebody from contacting you and trying to get something started?
Absolutely not. Any Catholic that has a desire to share their faith, any faithful Catholic can do that. I think you just need to get out there. But to answer the question about lack of knowledge, we are developing training and certification in evangelization and catechesis that will be launched on February 1st. It's a series of online quizzes, training modules that a person can interactively go through to learn the faith. But while they're in this learning process, they can get out there and just go talk to people. Look, this is what I tell people. If you don't know the answer to a hard question, you just say, you know what? That's a good question. I don't know, but I'll find out and I'll get back to you. You take down their name and number, or you give them your address or what, however you want to do it, and you find out and you get back to them. So that's how you learn. You learn by actually using it, by using your conversational skills. And yeah, people get a little bit nervous going out there, but very quickly they find that this is something that God gives them the grace to accomplish. And like I said, 99% of the conversations that we have are not these hard, difficult questions. It's just having one-on-one conversations with people about what God has done in your own life. So I would encourage anybody who has a desire to work for Christ and the spread of his kingdom to get in touch with us and go through our training. And, you know, if you feel called to join us, we'll help you. We'll help you. But maybe you're just called to pray for us, and we need, that's more important, you know. Say, put us in your daily prayers. And some are called to financial support. We need money, you know. An apostolate that's growing as rapidly as we are, it takes money to run. You know, we have all these writers and website developers and all these different people working on all these different projects. And, you know, so it's just the support of local people, good Catholics that are keeping this thing going. So,
well, dear listeners, I hope you've heard something to awaken a desire in you to be a new evangelist. We've been talking with Steve Dawson, the co-founder and national director for the St. Paul Street Evangelization effort and movement. Let me ask you one final question, Steve.
Sure.
You went through rebellion, drugs, escape, and a whole bunch of things we could read into what all that means. You thought about, after your reversion, becoming a priest, and jumping ahead to where you are now, are you where God wants you to be now?
Absolutely. Well, you know, that's a discernment process in and of itself. I recommend that everybody gets a spiritual director. And I can say this, that through discernment with my spiritual director, through his advice that I've followed, through the advice of our spiritual director for the organization and our board member, Father Fox, from the Archdiocese of Detroit, through the help of our board members, I believe that St. Paul Street Evangelization is following the will of God. You know, for myself personally, it's a up and a down, you know. Sometimes you slide back a little bit. My goal is to get to daily Mass, and that's hard. And you know, I do pray and all these different things, but there's greater and lesser degrees of faithfulness. And that's the great thing about this church, you know, that we're a part of, that it gives us so many different tools and resources in the sacraments to help us to through God's grace to do his will in our lives, which is basically the most important thing that we have to live for. So,
all right. Great answer. Once again, our guest has been Steve Dawson with the St. Paul Street Evangelization. I promise you, Steve, we will keep you in our prayers, and we'll see if we can continue to help you a little bit. We appreciate your time coming on Catholic Vitamins, and we hope we'll stay in touch.
Great. Thank you so much for having me, Deacon. God bless you.
St. Paul Street Evangelization is going to be in my heart, and it's a part of the new evangelization, and it's a great contribution to the Year of Faith. I'm so glad that Steve was willing to come on the show. I want to pick up on something that he talked about, which is discernment, but I think you have a little bit of feedback first.
I did. We heard from Brenda in Illinois. She said, my modem broke, so I had to take action and call our provider. So she got herself back online, and she was going to respond to emails and podcast backlog when she got back on. That was her action, which she thought was the vitamin.
Oh, she thought that was vitamin A was action.
Yeah.
Oh, good guess, huh?
She said, at the end of Mass, our deacon says, go forth and spread the gospel. She said, I'm not sure I have that wording exactly right. But to me, this means we are to go forth and act. Take action. Looking forward to what your correspondents have in store for us this week.
Thank you. Good guess, but not a winner, unfortunately. Well, let's talk about discernment. This started with a Ask the Deacon question from last week, and we didn't get time to get to it. Deacon Tom, I guess this qualifies as an Ask the Deacon question. My wife was curious about Medjugorje and did a ton of research online. She seems to have found a bit of corroboration to the story that I've given you a link to. I know from your podcast how highly you think of this shrine and was curious what you knew about this development and what your opinions as an ordained deacon are. So he had given me a link, and it was to an article that showed some confusion or problem about Medjugorje. And it's interesting that this question was raised because when Channing was with us, we talked about discernment and we talked about Medjugorje. And what I would say is, officially, the Church has not approved the apparitions at Medjugorje. It is under study by a highly placed commission in Rome. And we know that millions of people have gone there, including many, many priests, some who are leading pilgrimages to there. So I guess the official line or answer is that there is no official approval of Medjugorje, and I think listeners should discern whether or not they feel called to go visit and pray there. There have been so many wonderful stories, and we've had a good friend, Jeannie Rogers, who was on as a guest, and we've actually talked about discernment about Medjugorje with her. Dee, this leads to another thing that I need to talk about for a few moments. Quite a while back, we had two visitors, two ladies, who came to our parish. They were at the 11 o'clock Mass, and they were passing out little brochures for an organization that they were a part of. They were returning from California, where they were visiting, and they were returning to Cleveland to the organization that they were promoting, which is called Holy Love Ministries. We had never heard of the ladies before. We had never met them before. We had never heard of Holy Love Ministries. But the ladies were very lovely and very pro-life oriented. And so we brought them to the house, and I think we gave them some refreshments, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And we did a short interview with them in which they talked about Holy Love Ministries. Excuse my voice. And recently someone found some information which indicates that the Diocese of Cleveland is not able to support Holy Love Ministries. And because that's the latest information that we have discovered, we want to caution our listeners, anybody who might have, from our interview, decided to look into or contribute to Holy Love Ministries or pray for them, to be aware of the bishop's leadership in the Diocese of Cleveland and discern properly your action and response. And I think we'll go back to the blog page for that show and we'll put a correction in there as well. Anything else before we bring up Justin?
I could do one more little piece of feedback.
Please.
We heard from Ebeth. And you're always teasing her.
I am, yes.
She said, that was exactly what my mom said to me when I was 16 and the family moved to Virginia from upstate New York.
What was it?
This has to do with you teasing her about her accent.
Do you think she has an accent?
Well, yes. But anyhow, she says, by the way, do you have a vitamin B yet? How about bloggers? I'm celebrating 6 years blogging at my A Catholic Mom Climbing the Pillars .blogspot.com. Congratulations.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a milestone, 6 years. So I thought maybe we could put her, a little link to her blog in our show notes.
Why don't we do that? And whether or not we do a show about bloggers or whatever, maybe we could get a mini interview with Ebeth sometime and put that on.
Oh, I love that.
Ebeth, you hear this? If you do, please let us know if you'd be interested.
Accent and all.
We'll do a healing service for you when we have you on the show. All right. Well, speaking of evangelization, a great evangelist is our regular correspondent, Justin Stroh.
Duke and Altum. Each of us is conceived in the mind of God. And God's mind is infinite. And He has known us infinitely and creates us out of His infinite love in the womb of a mother. We are made to be a fortified city by His sustaining grace and power, for we are meant to find our refuge in Him even when we turn away from Him, so that we can declare justice and proclaim His wondrous deeds, and that justice is known in His mercy, and His mercy is known, for we can become not simply the sons and daughters of Eve, the mother of all the living, but the sons and daughters of the new Eve, the mother of all those living in Christ. Yes, Mary, who proclaims the greatness of God, magnifies His greatness, and we learn this quality from her. We are formed by her to be like Christ. See, it's not about comprehending the mysteries of God. It's simply about receiving the mysteries of God. And that's exactly what she did. She received the message of the angel and therefore received the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of that fullness is the person of Jesus Christ. It's not even about faith. It's more about endurance in the will to love that which I know and I have come to know because of faith. Ultimately, it is about love. Not about partials, but about a perfect love. For love, perfect love, casts out all fear. And Jesus speaks in wholes, and this is why people hate Him. He does not speak in partials. They wanted to kill Him, but He passed through their midst, confidently, fearlessly, trusting His Father. All of these gifts He received in the maternity of His own mother as a man. Wow. This surprises all around Him because He is the new Adam, the one who will lay down His life.
Proclaim Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God.
Justin, thank you as always. We appreciate so very much your continuing new evangelization podcast segments. The readings for this week, particularly that first reading, really spoke to the issue of pro-life. Dear?
I got another piece of feedback here before we go out. And this came in from Julia in Washington State. Please put my name in the basket for the Lighthouse Catholic Media CDs. So we'll say something about that in a minute. Your podcast that I listened to today, Why for Yah, made me think of the Willets and the adventure awaiting them. Yesterday, I listened to their latest podcast when they announced that they would be moving to Colorado. That was a surprise to us, too.
It was. When we listened to that, I just couldn't contain my joy for the two of, well, for the whole family. Mm. And we have such great ties in Denver. We're hoping to reach out and see if we can get an interview with Greg.
So, Julie, continue. What a coincidence. Your old stomping ground. I'm sure that you'll be in touch with them. They will be experiencing Yah.
Yeah, they sure will, huh?
Thank you for your ministry. I enjoy listening to your podcast. Love, Julia.
Is Julia part of our family? Like, is she like somebody that we're paying to listen to us? No, not really. All right.
We don't do that.
I know.
And we also heard from our friend Betty and Deacon Don up in Colorado, and they said they were so happy to read the great news about your biopsy results.
Oh, thanks be to
God. Did we mention that on the last show?
Well, I think we mentioned that I had some health challenges, and God has deigned not to call me at this particular moment. And so we are thankful to the Lord. And
We're thankful too. They were relieved and thankful. They said we enjoyed Zesty, Vitamin Zesty, today on the internet. And they are still busy with their grandkids.
They were visiting in California.
Yeah.
Well, dear, you have a Catholic vitamin tease for the next show. If anybody can guess what the vitamin is, send us an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. And here's the clue.
Vitamin B ends in Y. Four letters.
Now, this is pretty easy, don't you think?
I think so.
So, come on, put your thinking caps on. And, you know, it's not every show that gives you Catholic vitamin sweet treats. And Channing found out what they were while she was here on this visit. I think you sent her home with some, didn't you?
I gave her one packet of it.
Oh, don't say packet.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
I cut that out.
You got a vitamin it?
I do, but first I just wanted to do another reminder to anybody listening who would like Catholic Lighthouse Catholic Media CDs that we're giving away. We're giving away three of them. I forgot to put them out here in front of us. Do you remember the names?
I don't know. But
anyhow, there's three CDs from Lighthouse Catholic Media that we're offering. So just call in to, or email into catholicvitamins@gmail.com. Ask for your name to be put in the basket. And we're going to draw, I think, on about February 17th.
I took some of those Lighthouse Catholic Media CDs to California where I did my presentation. And I put them on the free table and acknowledged Lighthouse Catholic Media for donating them. And boy, they were scarfed up in a hurry. Mm. So please get your name in if you'd like these free, courtesy of Catholic Vitamins and Lighthouse Catholic Media.
Okay. We had nobody grab a winner this time. So I'm going to go out with a vitamin it from my daily meditation calendar, my Madonna House calendar. Faith is a gift of God. It is a pure gift, and only He can bestow it. At the same time, He passionately desires to give it to us. He wants us to ask for it because He can only give it to us when we ask for it.
Awaken your faith by asking the Lord to grow it in you and to increase it. Well, dear, I think we're about done with all of our prattle and promotions. And who could believe that we're on the seventh round of the alphabet? But here we are. And next time, vitamin B.
Thank you to all those listeners who keep us going.
And thanks to all of the guests. It's just been a great, great ride, far more than we ever expected. And we hope to continue for a while as the Lord allows.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings. Prayer for the United States. God, our Father, giver of life, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. You are the rock on which this nation was founded. You alone are the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Reclaim this land for your glory and dwell among your people. Send your Spirit to touch the hearts of our nation's leaders. Open their minds to the great worth of human life and the responsibilities that accompany human freedom.
Remind your people that true happiness is rooted in seeking and doing your will through the intercession of
Mary Immaculate, patroness of our land. Grant us the courage to reject the culture of death. Lead us into a new millennium of life. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The other day, I had a Facebook message exchange with Billy Tarasio, a lady who was a guest some time ago on Catholic Vitamins, and I've pulled a song from her album, Send Me, and this is the title song, Send Me. This is Attorney at Law in the Phoenix Area, Billy Tarasio.
Feel your holy burning fire. God.